Good afternoon, men. For the past few weeks, we've had the extreme pleasure of listening to some powerful talks related to the book entitled Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. If you haven't read any of that yet, I encourage you to get the book. It speaks to men particularly. We've been really blessed also the last few weeks to have some great examples of John Tice talking about if we know the man, we know what kind of man we should be. That was very, very touching to me. How true. We had Chuck McCoskey talk about the crossroads that we're in our society and the attack on men and the gender roles. Demetrius, I don't know where he's at, I saw him come in. Over here in the corner today, Demetrius talked about playing the man. And Pastor Paul Martin, always in his own very personal and special way, talked about put the four pillars in perspective for us. And last week, Jeff, and I think he's back here, Jeff convicted many of us with his talk to put aside our own interest in order to care for our wives or our significant others. And our discussion at our table really hit home with a lot of us. I don't know about you, but he made me realize that I should be doing a lot more for my wife, just as Christ loved his church. That was his bride. And Jeff, you just really spoke to a lot of us that day. And that brings me to today, because then I want to talk about Bob Gray just briefly and tell you that when he asked me to speak with you, it's been over a month ago, my first reaction was, selfish, don't think I want to do that, it's going to be an inconvenience. I had all the different excuses I certainly could have come up with. But here I am, because how do you say no to Bob Gray? And I looked at this group today, and I know many of you, not all of you, but you really humbled me today, because I really thought you probably came to hear my talk, but I realized today we had pizza, so I think you probably came for that. I know the real you. Well, let me stop just for a minute and just tell you that Bob Gray and I worked for many years in office buildings that were right outside the back door of each other. And all I would ever see Bob would be passing in the parking lot, or possibly one meeting a year, an annual meeting in January. But you know, God brought us together later on at Kokomo Great Banquet and then through Huddle and the experience here. And it just reminds me that God sometimes places men in our lives that we don't always have the time or take the time to get to know. And I think that's true in this room. And I see like Demetrius today, he moved over there. And sometimes we get in our comfort zone, we sit at the same table and we get to know the men at our table. But there are other men in here that would be great to get to know. And Bob's a good example of that. I feel like I would have been a much better person many years ago if I had known and taken the time to know Bob Gray. And some of you that know Bob, you know exactly what I'm saying when I tell you that. If you'll allow me, I'm going to refer to my talk not as the testimony, but as my journey. And in my journey, you'll hear my testimony. Someone said to me one day, well, you're a public speaker. And I said, no, I'm not a public speaker. I speak to the public. And I think there's a difference there, because I can handle the one-on-one really, really well. Let me say that I understand that some of you have experienced a journey that's filled with a lot of hurt, sorrow. You've had valleys, you've had storms in your lives. I know that. Your journey probably doesn't even compare to mine, and mine doesn't compare to yours. And I hope that God will work through me in this message, that possibly you'll see how God does work even during those storms and those valleys. I found that God is healing, He is compassionate, and He is God of love. And I want you to know this talk is really not about me. It is really about Him. And I keep reminding myself of that too. This is really about Him, and He's speaking through me. But through the storms, God is always with us. And we find that sometimes that is really hard to believe. But one of the scriptures, and I think it's on your paper, is Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And it may be the new a message version or a different version, but let me just say that we also rejoice in our sufferings. That's hard to do at times, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Well, I'm sure most of you watched the Super Bowl here. I don't know how you could hardly miss it. I hope your team won. Hope your team did well. We got one down here that says that they did. But I couldn't help but notice and focus on the people that were coming and going at the Indianapolis airport. People from New York and Boston and really all over the United States. And how many of you have flown recently? Anyone recently? Last few months? Got a few hands, so you'll probably know what I'm talking about. My wife and I, Nancy, flew to New York, it's been just a little bit over a year ago, and that's a real experience. Flying anymore these days. You know, you have to have a limited size of luggage, and I brought a little bit of luggage as an illustration. You know, they weigh it, they measure it, you got to make sure it's packed exactly right. And we could only have a certain weight limit of luggage. But the real interesting thing was, in terms of a football terminology, going through security and doing the pat-down, and you know how they do that, and the wand and everything, and you might use a football terminology and say that was illegal use of hands. That's sort of what I looked at it as. I think, you know, don't touch, throw the flag out there. I don't know if you have trouble packing for a trip or not, or a journey, but for me, I usually end up taking way too much, and it's really hard to downsize that. But like what I brought with me today, I probably overdid it a little bit. People asked me when I walked in the front door if I was just getting off the plane, and that's not really the case. But I did bring along with me some extra baggage here today. And, you know, that really reminds me that many of us do that. Many of us men bring along a lot of baggage with us in our lives. And we've talked about that before. We just try to carry way too much. So I think when we look at our past, we can look at three questions. What does our baggage look like? Yeah. Why does our baggage look like that? And how do we unpack it? How do we unpack our baggage? I think if we look deeper, we find that our families and our family circumstances have a great influence on our lives today. We need to consider how they have helped to shape our past and our present. Let me remind you that for some of us, we have found ways to bring a lot of baggage along with us. And we have an attitude that, you know, we can carry everything because we're men, right? We can carry it all. We can be in control. We don't need any baggage handlers. You know, we don't have to do that. So how much do you drag around that you really don't need? Think about that just for a minute. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think that's a comforting message. What's in our bags? Nobody has to stand up and offer what's in your bags, but let me look at this bag here and we'll just see what's in this. Some of you have illness you carry in your bag. We've talked about this before. There's about drugs. If you can read that way in the back. Drugs in a... about pornography. Something that men face. It's not exclusive to men, but... find some other things in here. How about selfishness? I have a trouble with that one. Pride has always gotten in my way. Pride. Well, I've heard some of you men at tables talk about family turmoil. Family turmoil. Anybody carry that with them? You don't have to raise your hand. Not asking you to do that. Very, very personal thing. How about worries? Anybody worry? How do you think I got my gray hair? How'd you get your gray hair? How about unloving parents? Hard to imagine. I've heard a few of you speak about unloving parents. Maybe both, hopefully not. a mom, a dad. I don't know if this is baggage or not. How about anger? Short temper. A little short fuse. That's another thing. You didn't know this bag was that big, did you? Huh. Broken relationships. Ooh. Broken relationships. You think God can heal broken relationships? Can God heal your heart? I think that He can. Some of you travel very light. Your bag may be really light. You know, there's other things in here too, in this bag. When I look in my bag, whew, now I get to look in my bag. Well, there's divorce. I lived with divorce most of my early life. And I say this with all great respect to my mother, who will turn 85 in July. She had major surgery yesterday at St. Vincent Hospital in Indianapolis. Thank God she came through the surgery, is doing well, and on a road to recovery. My mother was married 4 times before I was 16 years old. As hard as my mother tried to bring about a stable home life, it just wasn't exactly what you would call a home life. I found my loving grandparents and relatives that I think loved me and cared for me, and they looked out for me. So I was very fortunate in that sense. My grandmother was a very godly woman. She attended church, if that's one of the requirements. She attended church 3 times a week, and many times I'd be going with her. My mother did not attend church. But I must also say that, insert here, that my mother was also married for 20 years to a wonderful man that passed away just 2 years ago. And some of you knew him, and we referred to him as Prince Charming. When he came into her life and our lives, we thought the world of him. Because my wife Nancy and I experienced the negative side of divorce in our lives, her parents were divorced and married twice, have made us more determined not to use the word divorce in our vocabulary after we got married. Despite divorce being a big part of our early years growing up, we felt like God found it in His heart to give me a loving wife and a mother to my children. We just celebrated 37 years of marriage. And let me emphasize that on our journey, Jeff and other men, we continue to work on making it stronger. I can tell you last week we had a discussion that, you don't expect to occur when you've been married that many years. But you know that those discussions come up. But again, we got to put God in our lives and in our marriage and in our prayers, and He does work miracles many times. What else do I find in my bag here? So, out of divorce, 37-year marriage, what else do I find here? Well, this isn't something that I've been able to talk about very much. Only a few times have I ever been able to do this. That's what men do. They keep it inside. They don't talk about it. They don't share it. They don't let their hearts be revealed. But I never really knew my father growing up, as I mentioned, because my parents were divorced, and I was 1 year old at the time. And just 5 short years later, in 1956, my father died of a heart attack, and he was 32 years old. His name was Wallace Hardy. And the only memories that I have of my father, really, are stories that people have told me. A lot of people that are today in their 80s, and they've even stopped in the office and said, "Hey, I knew your dad, and your dad did this and all that." It makes me feel good, because that was really my only link to him. But one other thing, I brought along a couple mementos. He served in World War II. How many of you served in World War II? Anyone in here? World War II. He was stationed in Italy. I see a few hands up there. He was in the Army Air Reserve. I have a Bible of his. So found that. 1943, it's dated inside. It was given to him by Macedonia Christian Church in 1943. I have a picture of my father. I don't really know him. He's number 8 in the picture. He played for Howard before Northwestern ever existed. That's a team back in the I think probably 1941. And I have other things. This little monkey, it makes little kids laugh when they come in the office. But you wind it up, and this thing's got to be 70 years old, I guess. You know, it's got to be close to that. Toys do last. Toys do last. But for those of you that had a loving father, you know, and many of you did, you were very blessed. But as a young boy growing up without a dad, that meant growing up without a role model in my life. And later on, you'll hear one of our speakers talk about mentoring and role modeling. And I'm not going to tell you who that person is, but they're a great example. Because of not having a father in my life, I believe that I missed out on a lot of things that we take for granted, like pitch and catch in the backyard, fishing trips, attending sporting events, just building something or fixing something. I didn't have. But take a moment to mention how special it is to see fathers in school. And just a couple of notes. And Andy Williams, I remember seeing Andy a few weeks ago, and his son was here. And I thought that was really neat. And I don't think Mike Dunn's here today, but all of us know how special it was to always see Mike and Jess Dunn here at Huddle. What a neat combination. And Mike and Bill Fox, once in a while, are able to be here together. And Jim Thrasher's here. I don't see Mike today, but it's always nice to see Mike sitting back there with his back to me. And then Jim Butcher here in the front table, and it's always great to have his son Kevin here for the message. But I'm sure for Jim it's great to have his son here. And I want to just comment today, many of you know Andy, and Andy is pretty regular attender here at Huddle, and he's here today. But I'm very blessed to also have my other son here, Kyle. And Kyle drove from Indianapolis this morning to be here for this occasion. So I'm very fortunate as a father. And again, see, God can work through a life, you know, and bring about a great relationship. Even though I wasn't fortunate enough to have an earthly father, I think that's one thing that's helped me to see the importance of my heavenly father and grow a little bit closer to him, because that's someone that I can talk to that I wasn't able to talk to when I was much younger. And he's always there, and I hope you will remember that he's always there for you too. My wife and I are very proud of our children and all the relationships that they have, our children, with Jesus Christ. But I must say that children need men in their lives. Okay, it's very, very important. And if you have children, if you're fortunate to have children, spend time with them. Let them know how much you love them. And Mike Bollinger and I went to school together. We're 69 graduates of Kokomo High School. And I listened to Mike's testimony and, you know, touch your heart. And I'm glad to hear that you're coming back again next week, Mike. But Mike reminded me back then that sometimes work can get in the way, and you know, we can become consumed with other things in our lives that take us away from our family and our children. And it's never too late. I don't care how old you are right now. You know, it's never too late to build that relationship back in case something has happened to it along the way. Well, in 1978 and again in 1981, God blessed my wife and I with 5 children. So including the first set of quadruplets ever born in Indianapolis. This was the first set that we know of that actually survived in Indiana at that time. There was a new meaning given to the golf term. You know, some of you golfers, 4? That's what they told me when they came out of the delivery room, 4. And I'm like, we were expecting 3, by the way. So two boys right back there and 2 girls. And then we have an older daughter. Our older daughter will be 33 here, or be 34 this year. Kyle and Andy and the other 2 girls are 30. But we had the hands and the feet of our church with us during that time. They came and helped do laundry and fix meals. And when I say laundry, I'm talking laundry. I mean, we had 300 diapers a week. A week. I can fold diapers in the dark. But God blessed us many times over. And you can see here, where am I going with this? Well, God gave me the opportunity to be a father to 5 children, a father that I didn't have that in my own life. So it meant even more to me, you know, to have that responsibility and have that joy that I continue to have today. Because with the boys, I was able to take them and teach them a little bit of fishing, even though I'm not a real fisherman. But I coached the boys' baseball teams, basketball. I did some girls' basketball coaching with Steve Taylor. And we did Pinewood Derby and things like that, you know. So you remember some of those events. So today my children and our grandchildren, we have 5 grandchildren now, by the way, also. So the priority in our lives, of course, outside of God and our faith, is our grandchildren and our children. Well, also found in my bag was the bag of disappointment. I carried around a little disappointment there. My wife and I went into business with family only to find that a personal infidelity caused the business to fail in just a very short time, as did the relationship with the relatives that were involved in this business. We didn't speak for over 3 years, and I'm talking about a very close relationship, and we cut it off. And later it was restored by the grace of God, and to this day we are still able to speak, and that's where we're at with that. My wife and I went from being enthusiastic and very forward-looking about the future to being very scared, and we were very concerned about what laid ahead. At the time, keep in mind, we had 5 children, very young children. God took that old baggage that we've talked about here with this business experience and that failed, and He gave us an opportunity even greater than we had ever imagined that we could ever have. 5 years later, God presented us with an opportunity to own our own business, which we've now owned for almost 24 years. But I give my wife credit for that because she was encouraging about it, and she sacrificed and she put her trust and her faith in God that He would provide for us, and He has. He's never let us down. He's been good to us many, many times over. Once again, during the storms and valleys of life, God was faithful to me when I have not always been faithful to Him. I wasn't always giving God the glory, as I should have been, but instead, I was trying to take control and say that I was doing those things that was making the business successful. I found that owning a business can put a strain on life priorities. I already touched on that. I think Mike Bollinger talked on it. We've discussed it at our tables. Sometimes our priorities get messed up. I think when you're in your 20s and your 30s, your priorities are different than they are when you're in your 50s and the 60s and 70s. And we never know what is around the corner or just up over that next hill in our journey. For my wife and I, we've just sort of come into what we call the sandwich generation. Some of you know what that is, sandwich generation. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, I have no idea what that means. Besides working full-time and owning our own business, we now find ourselves taking care of aging parents who have become more dependent on us for their everyday needs. My father-in-law is 92. My mother is 85, almost 85. We love caring for our 5 grandchildren, all who live within about 1 hour of our home. We are thankful that God has given us the ability to spend time with our family, both young and old. We want this to be a testimony to God's goodness and His compassion, and importantly, the love that He has shown to us. God reminds us, each one of us, that the road of life is not easy. Ephesians 2:7 says, set your mind on higher things. Your journey will not be perfect or without problems, but you will know Christ is with you. He cares. Fill your bags with something that inspires your faith, gives you hope. You don't have to carry that around, you know, like that all the time. There are other answers. I love to read, and I don't want to cut the time too short, but I love to read. It's something I wasn't able to have a lot of time to do when the children were very young. But I brought along just a couple of things, and of course I know many of you are very much in the Word and your Bible. and hopefully you mark in it and you write in it and you underline it and words of encouragement. For those of you that maybe don't have that, a men's devotional is tremendous. It gives you, it grounds you, it gives you something to replace bad habits or bad routines. That's something I try to start my day with every day. And it always speaks to me. There's always something in here that speaks to me. A couple other things that I try to do is read books that tell about men's lives. And they've gone through some tough times and some storms in their lives. And it doesn't have to be sports. And this is not necessarily a new book, but Drew Brees' book, Coming Back Stronger, is very inspirational. And he's a Christian. He's got a lot of faith. He went from San Diego to New Orleans. He not only helped them build a city, but he helped them build a team into a successful team. Drew Brees' journey, I didn't know it until I was reading about this, but his parents were divorced, so I could relate to that. And not only were they divorced, but his mother committed suicide not too long after his son was born. It's a very powerful message, but Drew Brees always used every year an acronym for the team. He always had one for the team, and the one that stood out to me was faith. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Some of you have read, another one, bro. See, you can put good things in your bag. Got it? You can replace the bad with good. So, another sports one. How about Tony Dungy? Oh my gosh, you can't get any better than Tony. Quiet strength. Quiet. The quiet man, unassuming. You know, what a message Tony Dungy has for us. It's sad that he's not still a coach here. But in his book, he reflected on his parents, and he also reflected on the loss of his son, Jamie. And Jamie, as you may or may not know, died a year earlier than Tony's Super Bowl championship in 2007. Listen for a moment when Tony Dungy offers these encouraging words after probably the worst storm you could ever go through. And he says, "And we press on with the knowledge and assurance that even though we can't see all of God's plans, He is there at work and in charge, loving us. My purpose in life is simply to glorify God." One other man that I found inspiring in just sort of my reading, and I vary my reading, was John Wooden. Some of you are too young to probably even hardly know who John Wooden was, but they call me Coach John Wooden. John Wooden attended Martinsville High School, won state championship there, played at Purdue. Some of you have your Purdue shirts on today. I think that was around 1932. They won a national championship. As you know, he went on to coach at UCLA, won, I think, 10 national NCAA national championships. But what's important about all that? Really nothing. John Wooden lived to be just 4 months short of his 100th birthday. And the thing that stood out to me in this was when he was very young, his father had given him a piece of paper on it, and he referred to it as Joshua Wooden's 7 rules to live by. And I've just laminated this. And I'll just mention these to you just briefly. And just listen to what his father had told him. Well, when John Wooden died and they were going through his personal effects, what did they find in his billfold folded up but this piece of paper with 7 rules to live by on it? And he had kept that with him. Number one, it says, drink deeply from God's books, especially the Bible. Number two, be true to yourself. Number three, help others. Four, make each day your masterpiece. Five, make friendship an art. Six, build a shelter against a rainy day by the life that you live. And lastly, pray for guidance and counsel and give thanks for your blessings each and every day. So you can be inspired, you can have hope, you can see that there are other men out there that go through life's journey with some struggles. So in conclusion, how do we unpack our bags? How do we unpack these bags that we've been talking about? How do we get rid of and continue to carry all this around with us? You can't do it. It wears you down. You know that God has two hands. You knew that. He can save us. He can redeem us. He can lift us up. He can help us with our disappointments and our conflicts and our burdens. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Give all your worries to Him because He cares about you." Hopefully that message has come through today that He does care about you. He cares about me. If you're sitting there right now struggling on your life journey, let me offer you my favorite scripture. At one of our men's Bible studies, we just made it real simple that day. We said, what's your favorite scripture in the Bible? Now, if you think about that for a moment, I wonder if you have one. And if you don't, reflect on that a little bit. But mine is Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you could probably recite that without even reading it. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Plans to give you hope and a future. I hope by now that you can see that you don't have to carry the bags by yourself. I'm thankful for the life that God has given me, for the people He has put in my life. Many of you have been in my life in one way or another for many, many years. And I respect that and I appreciate that a lot. I say, give your bags over to God. Give God your regrets. Give Him your present problems that you're facing. Give Him your future ambitions and your dreams. Give Him your weaknesses, the habits, that some of these things were habits. Give those to God. Let Him have those. Put Jesus in the driver's seat on your journey that we call life. There are certain bags that you cannot carry. God doesn't want you to carry those. He wants you to set those down, drop them down, throw them down, and make Him the number one priority. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.